Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Raza Riffs with Keith Raza and Alan Lee right here on LA Talk Radio.
All right, guys. This episode of Raza Riffs is brought to you by Taco Brat, which is a taco restaurant in Costa Mesa, California. The address is 2101 Harbor Boulevard, Costa Mesa, California, 92627. They're open from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., and it's called Taco Brat, Alan Lee. Taco Brat. Mm,
that sounds good. I love it. Taco Brat.
Yeah, I've been there before, and they have the best nachos in the world.
Well, I love nachos.
I do, too. I love them, too. But I like this place because their name is Taco and then Brat.
You know, sounds good.
Yeah. Brat.
Like a brat, like a kid that's out of, like, acting bratty.
Yeah. Like you.
Well, you could. I'm a little bit of an older brat. But
you're an older brat. Yeah. I love you. So this week has been very interesting. I was supposed to plug this on. Oh, by the way, that's Taco Brat. Go get the tacos. I was supposed to plug this on last week, but last week Larry Miller called. I went to the Violent Femmes concert a week ago to do a an interview with them for our thing, right? For the podcast. Yeah. And I had to write a blog about the interview. So I went to the show, and I was told that I was going to meet Gordon Gano, who's like one of my heroes. But he had a stomach problem, so I didn't get to meet him. But I still had to write a blog. So if anyone wants to read a blog about the Violent Femmes, it's www.keithreza.com/WordPress or something. And it's a blog about the Violent Femmes. So I just wanted to plug that. I was supposed to do it last week, but I didn't. And I'm trying to find the Skype button so we could call our guest, but I can't find it. I'm not very good with these computers. You ever notice that?
Yes, I do notice it. I'm sitting here like staring at you right now.
Yeah. Well, it says Skype. It says add item.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I'm going.
Isn't it usually the same place? In the same place?
Yeah, but it's not there. Do you think you could go get the director, Sam?
Sure.
Sam the director?
That's what he is today.
He's always the director. This could be one of the greatest Keith Reza moments where I'm having a blonde moment here. Skype button. I can't find the Skype button. Hi, Sam. Oh, I found it.
Right.
Oh, okay. No, that's not the number. Oh, hang up on that guy. Oh.
No,
okay, cool. Excellent. You're the best, Sam.
Thank you,
all
Sam.
All right. That was Sam, the director.
And also the corrector.
The corrector. That's a good name. We should change that to the corrector for Sam. Okay, our guest today, we're going to introduce. We had some technical difficulties today, which, because we usually don't record on Mondays, but we're doing it today because our guest can only do Mondays, and he's doing us a big favor doing the show. And you guys have seen him from Comedy Central, Tosh.0, the Sarah Silverman program, Jimmy Kimmel.
The list goes on.
So many credits. Comic Todd Glass. So we're about to give him a call right now. He just texted me. It's a good time to call. And I'm plugging in his number as soon as I can. Okay, so let's see if it works. I love this awkwardness between us.
I just sit here and relax, you know.
All right, excellent. Let's see if it's working.
Just take a nap. Shh. Move my pillow.
Hello.
Hey, Todd. How are you? It's Keith.
Good. How you doing?
Good.
How are you, Todd?
Pretty good.
Thank you.
Todd, this is my co-host, Alan Lee, the one and only.
Glad to meet you, Todd Glass.
Hey, Alan, how you doing?
Very good, sir.
Or talk to him.
Well, you know, we've been having a conversation. We know you've done so many podcasts. You have your own podcast, and so we're saying, what in the hell could you ask that's not a stupid, incredibly stupid question? You know how they say there's no stupid questions?
Wait, you know, I was having this conversation with you?
Yeah, we were talking about how, you know, Mr. Glass has done many, many shows.
Yeah. Todd, are you still there?
Hello?
Yeah. I had a hard time understanding for a second.
Oh. We were talking about how since you've done so many podcasts, you know, you've heard every question there is. And we just said, maybe you could come up with a question you wanted to ask yourself.
A question I wanted to ask? Yeah, just by the way, just so I know, you're recording this to air at another time, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I just wanted, because I didn't want to, if it was for some reason live, which it rarely is. I'm having a little difficulty. Keith, I can hear you.
Can you hear Alan?
But Alan?
Oh, can you hear me a little bit better now, Todd?
Yeah, it sounded like you were just pretty low.
Thank you, Todd.
We don't usually come in Mondays, so like we had to figure out the studio. I'm not very good with computers.
We didn't know what day it was.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, that's okay. So Keith, go ahead, Alan. Let me hear you one more time.
Yeah, let's ask Alan.
Testing Todd Glass. Alan here. Alan Lee here. Todd, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's a little hard to hear you. Like,
you want to go to a different
concentrate group? Really hard now, Keith. I can hear you though.
Right. Oh boy,
Alan, you want to go to the next chair?
It's not like I can't hear you at all. It's that, like, I'll tell you what it sounds like. I'll do an impersonation of it so you'll get it.
Okay.
It sounds like, oh yeah, well we got, you know, come definitely, you're not going to go back, and then you but you know, sure. And then I thought, like, then I wasn't even like, you know, because you go down there and then you're like, well, maybe that's doable, but I don't really, you know what I mean? Like, I hear words, but it's hard for me to hear your sentences.
Can you hear me now, Todd?
What?
Can you hear me now? Hello?
Yes, I can hear that. Can you hear me now? Yes.
Beautiful. We switched
microphones.
There we go. So I'm good now.
So, Todd, I just wanted to say thank you so much. We tried to get you last year, but your schedule is always busy, and thank you so much for taking the time to do the show right now via Skype. I really do appreciate it this year.
Oh, cool. Yeah. And by the way, if for some reason I'm having trouble hearing you, like, you know, you always feel bad when you say, I can't hear you, but I just wanted to be right so I can have an honest conversation. Because sometimes you can't really hear somebody, and you just say, yeah, because you hear enough. But, you know, I just wanted to... Even if it means we can't do it now, I just want to make sure I'm hearing you guys. So I think I can hear you now.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean...
Can you hear me? Todd?
Yeah, you sound far away now.
This is actually really funny, though.
All these questions.
Because I always have all these... I always have all these difficulties at the studio because, like, it's usually just pushing a button, you know? So, like, I'm very blonde, you know what I mean? And it's funny when Alan's having the difficulties.
You usually don't have these difficulties.
Yeah, but I guess we'll go ahead and we'll give it a shot. And then if I have any trouble, we'll just I'll tell you. But let's get.
All right, that sounds good. So Todd, I first saw you. I've been doing stand-up comedy for about 12 years, and I first saw you at the Irvine Improv because David Spade is one of my favorite comics, and you were on the road with him a lot. And
I was, but how many years ago is this you saw us there?
This was probably 10 or 9 years ago. It was...
Wow.
Yeah. And you were always so very nice because, like, I have Asperger's syndrome, you know, so, like, I'm very concentrated on comedy and stuff, and that's where my comedy comes from. And I'd always loved Spade, and then, like, you always were there every single year, and you were always very nice to me. You know, you took pictures with me and stuff. And now whenever I see Spade, I don't see you, and I'm very bummed.
Oh, you know what? I still am good friends with Dave, but I really did all his tour dates for, like, a long time. And I still do. Occasionally, we went to Denver together. But it just was like, you know, same with me. Sometimes you want to switch the act that you tour with. just for the audience, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so they get something new, maybe, you know, because sometimes he's like, geez, I don't know how much new material I have. You know, at least my opening act will, you know, maybe be different. But we're still good friends, and I still do some dates. They're probably one of my favorite dates to do. He's, you know, I love doing bits, and Dave is a bit machine. Like, all it's just bits 24 hours a day from the minute we eat breakfast, and they're really fun, fun dates to do.
Yeah. Now, last time I saw him, he was with Kevin Farley, and, like, you know, I don't like to badmouth people, but you're a lot nicer than Kevin Farley. You know what I mean? So, like, that's what I'm trying to say.
Well, I'm going
to
tell Kevin that. I'm going to tell him, let me write this down on a post. Call Kevin and tell him he's a dick.
There you go.
No, he's actually really sweet, too. Some people are just different with the audience after the show. Some comedians are dicks, but I don't want to defend that all comedians, not comedians, people in general.
Yeah.
But Kevin's a pretty sweet guy, so it might just be he's not as outgoing with the audience or people after the show. I am, because that's just my nature.
Yeah.
But I don't think everyone that's not outgoing with people after the show, it's not always synonymous with them also not being nice, a person in general. Some can be even shy on a one-on-one basis.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not saying anything bad about Farley. I'm just saying that.
Oh, yes, you are, Keith. You're fucked now. Because I'm sending this to him, and I'll tell you what else I'm going to do. I'm going to send it to the local authority. And I'm going to make sure that there's a restraining against you.
No, but I'm just saying that, like, you were always very nice to me because I told you I was a comic, and, you know, we talk about comedy and stuff, you know, so, like, I felt like I connected a lot more than you because Farley had just started doing stand-up, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, for comics, you know, I hope I'm pretty nice to anyone, but for comics, I always, you know, try to give a little extra, a lot extra, because they're comics. Even if it's a one-year comic or a 20-year comic, you know, you're a comic. You know, so I try to give a little extra to comedians.
That's good. I like that.
Of course it is. I'm a nice guy, you dumb fuck.
Can you hear Alan Lee now?
Hello?
Alan?
Hello?
I hear you, Alan.
Oh,
Alan, are you a comic?
I am. Thank you, Todd. Thank
cool.
you for revealing that to the world.
How long you been doing it?
Over 5 years.
Over 5 years,
yes,
yeah.
I like to put it
that. You're definitely doing it.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes I'll meet somebody and they'll be like, well, I'm not really a comic yet. I'm like, hey, if you're getting on stage at least once a week, you're a comic.
Yeah. I try and get on stage. Like, it's very hard because, like, I've been doing comedy, you know, for 12 years, and I have a good 20 minutes now, but it's very hard to find those 20-minute sets, you know? So when you got to keep doing
Yeah, in L.A. it's hard. And, yeah, I get it. I get it from my comedian friends that are been doing it for, less time than me. But in L.A. it is hard to get. And that's how you grow to that next level. You do 20-minute sets. So it is hard sometimes in L.A. But everybody figures it out, you know.
Sure.
My comedy teacher, because when I first started, I took a stand-up class, which, you know, I don't know in your views, but it helped me learn how to write better jokes. But the person who taught it, he actually said he opened up for you for a couple of times. Does Barry Weisenberg sound familiar to you? You said this was like... early 90s.
Yeah, that name sounds... You know, it's funny how much you remember, even though you forget. That name does sound really familiar. But there was another Barry that opened for me, but I don't know if he's teaching classes. But that name sounds really familiar.
Yeah. So, well, what are your thoughts on classes? Do you think classes help comedians, or do you...
Well, you know, I always say the same thing. Yes, for some people, it can get your feet wet a little bit, and if it gets you over the shyness, hey, there are some great comedians mm-hmm. that took some classes, and it helped comfort them. Obviously, it has a lot to do with the teacher. Look, if you're meant to do comedy, even if you have a bad class, and what I mean a bad class is when they go, they just, you know, bad meaning they just, they spend too much time on how to write a joke, maybe. Like, I think it's more like, there are some good teachers. There are definitely some good teachers. But basically, those teachers, I notice a running theme with them, they even acknowledge, like, look, most of this you're going to learn on your own. And if it means we get together here in a class where we're all new and there's no judgment, and that helps you get your feet wet, if that's the term, if I'm using the right term. Classes can be okay, but overwhelmingly, eventually, it's just doing it.
Yeah.
You know, getting up week after week after week after week after week, and eventually. But there are some classes that are like help you, you know, help give you a little push maybe.
Yeah, classes I think help you like give you ideas and styles on how to write, but I don't think they tell you what to write. So I think that's
good. Very personal. He's right.
Yeah.
That's just, you got to get up and find what turns you on, your observation.
Yeah, you don't want to take a class that, you know, thinks that the person that's teaching it thinks their style works for everybody.
Yeah.
Cuz there's a lot of different styles. There's a lot of little different there's a lot of ways to write. And eventually you don't really need a class because comedians love to talk about comedy, you know, the comedian that needs everything you need to know, you can usually learn from a comedian that's done it 2 more years than you.
Oh, yes.
Yes, indeed.
Because that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that because, like, the comedians from my scene, you know, they look at me like I'm, you know, good and stuff, and they ask me for advice, and I'm like, oh, I'm nowhere near as good as I want to be, but, you know, I always tell them to keep doing it and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, just keep doing it. And, you know, some of this stuff, you know, I've said before, but I think it's worth repeating, is like, I always tell people, you know, if you think this really is appropriate for even outside of stand-up comedy, I would imagine it might just be some, you know, no shit advice. But if you think, since we're talking about comedy here, if you think it's a cutthroat business, you know, I'm not talking about isolated situations where you meet someone that's not friendly or not nice. That's different. But if you overwhelmingly think comedy's a cutthroat business, it might be you.
Oh, yeah.
You don't realize that, but, you know, you throw out a lot of love.
Yes.
And you throw out a lot of compliments. You're going to find the people that throw them back.
That's right.
So, and no one thinks they're cutthroat. No one thinks, no one's going to go, oh my God, I'm cutthroat. Todd's right. But cutthroat's a strong word. But what I mean is, are you getting love back? Are you giving it? Because usually if you give it and you're positive and you'd go out of your way to say, hey, good set, or find something nice, or maybe there's a brand new comedian, his first time ever on stage, but you stick around maybe 20 minutes to go up to him and go, hey, by the way, that, you know, this was cool or that was cool. There is a lot of good love in the comedy community, and I found it when I started, and I still find it. So if you think it's a cutthroat business, you might want to just take a step back and go, wow, I never looked at it that way, because there's a lot of really nice comedians out there and that will, you know, throw a lot of advice, sometimes right, sometimes wrong, but always good.
Yeah. And you're one of those comedians, you know, you always gave me advice and positive sayings, you know, when I talked to you after the shows at Brea and Irvine, so, yeah.
Yeah, I used to be up there a lot. I'm not as much anymore, but I used to go up to Irvine a lot more. I actually like the old Irvine Improv better than the new one.
Oh, me too, definitely. The new one's, like, way too theatery-ish, you know what I mean?
It's not even the size of it. There's rooms that are twice the size of that, but more intimate.
Yeah.
And I don't think they realize it. I always wonder when somebody builds a club like that, do they ever step back and go inwardly, maybe outwardly it's too hard to admit, but not just for the size. Like I'm saying, I literally work rooms that are twice the size of that, that are 5 times more intimate. They just built a very big, cavernous room, and it's a shame because the old Improv was great, you know?
Well, I think they build it to, like, film specials there and stuff, and it's...
Yeah, but it could... All the things they'll tell you why they built it that way, I don't even know why I care so much, but it's like, that doesn't mean it has to be on intimate. There's no answer to why it's on intimate, because, like I said, there's other places that they can shoot things at that are more intimate. It's just a very cavernous, long room, you know?
Yeah.
But, But other than that, I always have a good time when I go. The Improvs, there's, you know, the main Improv here in Hollywood is my main hangout, which I love. It's just a great place to hang out.
Yeah.
Always has been. And that's never changed. Even though a lot of things have changed at the Improv over the years, sort of the Melrose Improv is always a lot of love and a lot of good. The door staff is nice, and it's a good place to hang.
Yeah, the thing is about, I don't know if you, I'm sure you know this because you filmed it, but, you're the face of the improv when the show start, you know, like you tell everyone to relax, enjoy the show. So you're playing at every single improv across the country. That's got to be kind of cool.
You know, I made that. I know they made a different one, but the original one where I go, laugh, shut up, is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
That one I like. That one, I really, there was a manager at the Old Bray Improv. His name, he was actually a sound person, and then he might have moved over to management, but his name was Mike McCaleb. And he one day had a camera, and he's like, hey, let's do a video to start the show to tell people, you know, to sort of don't talk during the show. And I liked that he did it back then because nobody else did it. Nobody thought to start the show with a little bit of love, but also stern, you know, yeah, you don't come in here to talk during the show. So they I think I did that. I mean, it might have been 15 or 20 years ago that I did that.
Really? It was that long ago?
Yeah, we do. Well, if you're talking about the one, or you know, it's very the one that says laugh, shut up. That's like,
yeah,
it's very specific. If that's it, they made another one that they used. That's not the one I'm talking about. The one that I'm talking about is just me looking into the camera.
Laugh, shut up.
Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, but I've seen another one too. I saw one with Jim Brewer, where like
right. The original one is. That's all. That was made many years ago, but I like it. It does the job, you know. It lets the audience know that this is the way we run the place. You don't talk during the show. That's what a lot of people get confused at comedy club versus a restaurant. You know, a good comedy club might serve food and drinks, but the sentiment of it is that they're coming for comedy. That's why we get to serve those food and drinks. So basically, comedy wins, and that it's not the customer's always right. And that's where I think people get really confused, and almost understandably, like, the customer's always right is a good adage to have, even though the customer is not always right. But I get it. You say the soup isn't good, we don't argue with you. But I heard a comedy club owner once talk to a customer after a show and calmly said, no, the customer's not always right when it comes to telling people to be quiet. If it was, I could never hire any comedians because we could never police the audience. That's where you're confused. If the food isn't good, yes, the customer's always right. But when it comes to telling you to be quiet or you can't heckle, please, or maybe just you're talking too loud at your table, honestly, whether you think you're right or wrong, he was explaining to these customers, and I would imagine he said, you think you're right. If the customer is always right when it came to those things, literally, I would never be able to book any comedians because we'd never be able to tell someone to be quiet, or we could never, in the event, having to throw somebody out. So the comedy side of a comedy club is, no, the customer is not always right.
No, yeah.
And that video sort of sets that tone that, yeah, you got to shut up during the show.
Yeah, that's actually very smart that the comedy manager said that.
They don't heckle.
Yeah, I was glad that he pulled the camera. I was smart of him to do it. Now a few clubs do it. I like it. I like when they take the time to go, look, we got some rules here. We're glad you're here. We're happy you're here. But, yeah, you know, we got some rules.
You know, speaking of heckling, I've seen a lot of comics get heckled. And I can honestly say that I've only seen two really, like, make it funny. Bobby Slayton and you. And what is, like, what is some magic on that? Like, can you give us some Todd Glass magic on how to make hecklers really, really funny? Because whenever I get heckled,
I know what you're saying. To tell you the truth, first of all, isn't that funny how often that expression gets misused? To tell you the truth, why would I start it that way? But anyway, the truth of it is, how about that?
George
Carlin. I've changed my theory on that as years have gone by. I really don't want to have fun with a heckler anymore. I've grown and grown and grown. It used to be, hey, they say something, I say something. Yeah, I got you. I just want to end it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to make it funny. I just want to end it as quick as I can. I don't want it to be part of the fiber of the show that night. I've made so many mistakes when dealing with hecklers. Hey, they might be dead wrong, but it doesn't mean I can't deal with it in a certain way. And to be really clear with it, a lot of times we encapsulate hecklers as everything. Most of the time, not always, most of the time, they're not yelling out, at least with the clubs I work. Most of the clubs I work, no one's yelling, you suck. It is, that does happen, but it's rare. It's really someone loud at their table or talk, yeah, just talking a little too loud, or a joke makes them laugh, and then they're talking about it for 5 minutes at their table. So you go, hey, what's going on over there? And that's really what happens the most. And I like now to just end it. Tell the door staff, I don't go back and forth with them. If they're talking or they're yelling out, just get them out of there. I don't really want to make it part of my show. I don't want to, you know, even yell at them. Even if most of the audience agrees with me, it's still, I just don't want to deal with it. I don't like it. My face is all scrunched up right now as I'm even talking about it. I just want it to end, you know.
I'm sorry.
I don't want it. I want the staff to go over. No, you just shut them up and make them leave. That's all I really want.
I also don't like it because as a comedian, we come in with jokes and stories we want to tell and share, and then just being heckled, it wastes like 5 minutes of us trying to do that story. It's like heckling is actually wasting the entire show's time. You know what I mean?
It is. And, you know, and some comedians, of course, including me in the past, are somewhat responsible for it, because a lot of times when you're nervous about your act, or maybe your act's not going that well and you lose your footing. Believe me, I've been there. And so the way it starts is, and then somebody yells out and you go, even if you're not doing well, let's say you're doing your show, you're 10 minutes in or 5 minutes in, and it's hard sometimes, especially the newer comic you are. And then all of a sudden you tell this person to shut up and then the crowd cheers. Now you're doing better. So your instincts are to, if you knew you could return to your act and go boom, 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 And even if you're not doing well, but be confident enough to just do joke, 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 you're not going to embrace it as much. And guys that do crowd work that are great comedians, they've earned that right. You know, they're not the comedians that want to deal with an unruly audience. The comedians that do some crowd work, they do their best crowd work when the crowd still knows it's not a free-for-all.
Yeah.
So, like I always say, I noticed what put a complete end to it for me, and it also makes you a better comic. I started requesting that the comedians that open for me don't talk to the crowd.
Oh.
And there's a lot of gray area there, because sometimes they think don't talk to the crowd means, what do you do for a living? What's your name, sir? Mm-hmm. The nice hat you're wearing. No, even were questions that are rhetorical. Mm-hmm. Don't go out there and go, how many people have been to that Target up on Fairmount Street? Boy, that's ish. Hey, has anyone been to a concert lately? Boy, it's... Just do your jokes.
Yeah. Sure.
And what happens then, it makes it easy for the door staff to police the audience. Because if you go, hey, ladies and gentlemen, good evening, welcome to the club. And it's not a bar where you have to get the audience together. I get it. If you're doing a bar show, you might have to go, how you doing, to assemble them. But at a comedy club, the lights go down, the music comes up, a voice from the back of, you know, the voice of God, good evening and welcome. When I have an act open for me and they just go right into their set and just do their jokes, there's nothing more cool than walk into that mic, not at a bar show where you can't do it, and just telling your first joke.
Yeah.
And then doing your second joke. And then because if you tell them, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet, then the first act gets up there and starts asking questions, it just wakes up idiots. That's what I like to say. Mm-hmm. You know, it just wakes up idiots. No. Oh, we are allowed to talk. So yeah. I just prefer just go to that mic and do your fucking jokes.
Beautiful.
I totally agree with you, because I never say, when I start, I never say, hello, how you doing? I just go up and say, you know, I'm autistic and all that stuff, and I start my jokes and stuff. And my dad says that you should always acknowledge the crowd, and I feel what you feel. I feel that that's just wastes time.
Yeah, and it's really not open. There are exceptions. I always tell somebody, especially when I first started asking this, if it helps them get their footing sometimes. How you doing? Just mm-hmm. say, boy, we got a great show tonight. You people in a good mood. Be up. But I'd prefer not that. But no, nothing is sent, because what really the conversation we're having is, what's the best way, especially when you're the host or the first act out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're the first act out. What gets them ready for comedy? What mm-hmm. assembles them as an audience?
Mm-hmm.
And even if your first joke doesn't get a big laugh, it might, but even if it doesn't, let's say it doesn't. Let's say you're in a club that, hey, when my first act goes to the stage the way I run a show, that audience is ready. They are ready. But I get it. Some clubs, they're not. They make the announcement and the crowd's not really paying attention. Mm-hmm. And then they go, all right, everybody, and remember to keep your laughter to the maximum and you're having a conversation with them. And now please welcome your first act. You walk out to that stage, even though a big to-do has been made, they're not all listening. But still, even at that, nothing assembles them more than a joke. Yes, if you say, how you doing, that gets more noise going. Absolutely, if that's what you're wondering. More noise. And you go, you're ready for fun? Literally, no exaggeration. That makes the crowd make 15 times more noise. I'll give it to you. But what assembles them to get ready, you tell a joke, maybe it gets 10% of the audience or 20. Boom, you do another joke, that gets the rest of the crowd. And then you do joke, joke, joke. Literally, I watched Bobby Miyamoto, who used to open for me a lot, and I watched it, and I found it very interesting. He would do his first joke. No, it didn't always get the huge round of applause. Then he does his second joke. By the time he does his fourth joke, I go, watch how that crowd just got whipped into, here's what happened. I tell jokes, you laugh. I tell jokes, you laugh. I tell another joke, and you know what? Literally 3 minutes in, he's got them all paying attention.
There you go. Yes. Yeah.
And almost every time.
Yeah.
Almost every time. As opposed to, hey, are you ready? Are you, how many of this? Or that? Just, no. And by the way, everything I'm saying not to do, I've done.
Yeah.
I've done. You know, I've done it. You know, you just learn from other comedians. I'm not saying that. I've done the same thing. Hey, sometimes I get it. Save it for an emergency. Maybe I get it. You're 10 minutes into your act. It's not going well. You're having it throws you. Sometimes when a joke doesn't get a laugh, it throws you. So just saying how you doing buys you 10 seconds to think of your next joke. I get it. Mm-hmm. And in an emergency, yeah, what are you going to do? You use it. Mm-hmm. But use it in an emergency. Don't plan on doing it.
Yeah. Well, Todd, I have to
And I know people feel differently than me, and I will tell you, if I'm going to be a dick, they're wrong. People adamantly feel different with me. They hear this. There's going to be someone that hears this that goes, nah, he doesn't. I mean, he's close, but he, no, I'm right. And that's just the end of the story.
Yeah, I totally 100% agree with you. I do have to take a 20-second break to mention our sponsors real fast. And then when we come back, we have a couple Twitter questions for you, if that's all right with you.
Awesome. And I won't go off on any more tangents. I'm going to ask your question. I'm going to move on. No more tangent. Oh,
no. We love you, Todd. Like, I love the tangent.
It's not a tangent.
Okay.
This episode of Razor Riffs with Todd Glass is sponsored by Taco Brat. It's a taco restaurant in Costa Mesa. Their hours are 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. And they have taco deals. Taco Brat on Harbor Boulevard. And they also said, Todd, next time you perform in the Orange County area, you come in and tell them you are on Razor Riffs, and your meal is comped at Taco Brat.
What?
Yeah.
I'm going to drive there tomorrow.
There you go.
I see their logo.
There you go.
I see their logo right here. It's a taco, then red, and then it's blue. Oh, so it's tacos and brats?
Brat.
Or no?
Yeah.
Taco Brat. Oh, Brat. Yeah. I get it. That's, oh, my God. Don't piss off your sponsor.
No, that was funny. A German taco place.
No,
I like that.
Yeah. But no, they did said the next time you're in the area, just swing by and have food on them. So.
You know what? I'm going to take advantage of that right now. I'm going there now. I'm going to show up with like 15 comedians.
All right. So we have a couple of Twitter questions. The thing that I don't like about Twitter is because I don't get a lot of these Twitter handler names, and I don't know if they're real or not, but these are actually real questions. This is from ComedyFN329. Todd, is there any chance of making your series Todd Glass Show into the first Netflix podcast?
Wait, say that again?
ComedyFN329.
No, not the whole, just the question.
Oh. Todd, is there any chance of making the Todd Glass Show into the first Netflix podcast?
Well, that's interesting because it's a weird question because it's almost something I was going to do on my last special that I just shot, was make it some podcast and then some stand-up mixed together, if that's what they're asking.
That's a great idea.
I think so. I think eventually podcast could be Netflix specials. How it would be, I'm not sure. Maybe it would be because there's basically interesting dialogue, and I hope maybe the next one I could do that. Like take maybe it's because a lot of the ideas they get life on the podcast by talking about something.
Right.
So you're talking about something in more of a casual way, and then all of a sudden the next thing you know it's in your act.
Yeah.
So maybe it could show that going back and forth from the podcast, then do 10 minutes of your stand-up and then back to the podcast, and then, but certainly I hope I'm the first to do it, because it was really going to be what I did on my last special, and then about a month away we decided to just not do that.
I think you should do it. I think that'd be a cool funny concept too.
Yeah, I think so. So the answer is yes.
All right. Twitter question number two from Karen TWE87. Todd, do you have any plans on writing another book?
I thought I'd never do the first one because I barely ever read a book. I think a friend of mine, I forget who said it, said you should write a book called I'm Right, You're Wrong.
You should, totally.
I think if I did it again, I would just want to do my life's tips, you know? Nothing with necessarily a through story, just like, you know, a book of like, here's my idea when you go out to eat. Here's my idea if you're having people over for dinner. Here's an easier way to go camping, you know? So, yeah, I think if I did another one, it would be something like that. So, yeah, definitely.
It's amazing how comedians, they all are writing books right now. Like, I'm friends with Norm, and Norm wrote a book, and it's hysterical. Your book's hysterical. Spade's book, you know what I mean? It's like they're all writing mm-hmm. books. It's like a book.
Well, I think it's, you know, you have, you definitely, you know, when I sat down to do the last book, and I did have help, I wrote the book, but I did have a help, I guess what the co-author, ghostwriter, whatever they call it. Well, he's not really a ghostwriter because he's mentioned in the book, but he really helped me get all my thoughts out, and it's my thoughts, but he helped get them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, he was great. He was brilliant, and I really loved him. So when you're sitting down telling stories, not in some gross, disingenuous way, you don't really realize, oh, I guess that was interesting. You're just telling it, and you're like, oh, yeah, you just sort of took it for granted. So, you know, I've been doing comedy a long time, so there were a lot of stories that I didn't even think, oh, yeah, I guess that is interesting.
I got a Twitter question from Captain Planet 562. Todd, your favorite movie is Super Troopers. For the fans, is there a chance for you, tweet, to be in the second one, tweet?
Well, that I tried to get. I worked so hard at it. I think he's talking about. I wanted to. I told the guys who I know, Kevin, and Steve, that Kevin Heffernan and Steve Lemmy, that I wanted to just, if I couldn't be in the movie, let me talk during the credits. Like, all of a sudden the credits start rolling and it's a split screen and it's me talking. Someone said on the last movie they show, which I remembered once they said it, they show some of the outtakes. I'm like, man, that's going to be hard to do what I want to do instead of that. So I sort of gave up on that. But the last request I made to Steve, and he did say, sounds like a plan, but I don't know if he was being sarcastic. I said, let me just go on the press. Let me, you know, go on the press tours with you and just say I couldn't be in it. Like, if you're going to be on Kimmel, let me. No, during the credits. That's what I asked. And then I said, I'll go out and promote it. I'll go on Kimmel. I'll go on Conan. I'll do any press that I would normally do or get to do. Put it in the credits. Just have the credits stop and write, our friend Todd Glass couldn't be in the movie, but he said he'd be okay with a spot in the credits. So, Todd, here it is. Now shut the fuck up. And then just continue the credit.
Oh, God. That
was my last request. Just put me in the credits. Just, I would love it. And then I'll go promote it as if I was in it. Not that they need my help promoting it.
Yeah.
But that's my last push that I'm going to try to get him to do. Just hold the spot for me in the credits.
That would be hilarious. I would. Oh my
yeah,
God.
And not just rolling down with all the others. I want it to stop, even if it's for 3 seconds, and go, you know, something like to the effect of, Todd Glass, our friend, couldn't be in the movie. He said as long as he can get in the credits. Here it is. Boom. And then they start rolling again.
All right, Todd. Last question. This is from Six Rant Smith. What do you think of James Adomian?
James Adomian.
Yeah. I said his name wrong.
What? That's okay. James, are you familiar with James? And if you're not, it's okay.
To be honest, I'm not.
Yeah. Well, go on YouTube and look around. James Adomian is a force of nature. He is, I mean, it's like, I do think I'm funny. I don't want to play like, oh, you know, but when I'm around guys like that, hey, maybe that's what makes you want to be a better comedian. He's just like a force of nature. You know, just like, just so ridiculously funny. Just like, boom, 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 boom. And like, I'm very impressed when I watch James, or mostly when I have him on my podcast is when I think this. Certain guys are like that. Like, you know, they're just not just funny, but funny like if a sledgehammer was funny. And it's really exhausting in the best way. I mean, when I'm done with James Adomian at my podcast, I feel that way when I go to see certain comedians too, like Brian Regan. I feel that way when I go to see him. I feel that way about Eddie Pepitone, Andy Kindler. Rory Scovel makes me laugh like that. But just, there's a lot of funny guys that are really funny. I mean, no doubt about it. They're funny. But then there's the level above that. And it's not an insult to the level below it. It's not an insult to the level below it at all. It's just a different thing. It's just like this powerhouse.
Yeah,
I'm a big James fan, obviously.
Awesome. It's interesting you said you're a huge fan of Andy Kindler, because I follow you on Twitter, and sometimes it seems like, obviously now I know it's joking, but it's like, you know, like you guys tweet each other, you know what I mean? So now I know it's a joke, but at first I thought like it was like a conflict.
You know? Oh, you meant Rory Scovel?
No, I saw you. Maybe no, I saw you tweet Andy a couple months ago.
It might have been joking. It always is. I always think the joke is gettable for everybody, because I don't like to have fake feuds, even though Rory Scovel does. You know, he thinks it's funny. I'm like, no, I don't want people to be like, oh, I like both of them. Why are they fighting? You know, because I have the running thing with Rory Scovel for about a year now, just having a fake fight over through Twitter. Also, he mentions me at the end of his Netflix special. And during my special that I just shot, literally the whole audience, because I told them to, at one point during the show, the whole audience starts going, fuck Rory Scovel, fuck Rory Scovel. And I'm playing the good guy. I'm going, why are you saying that? He's my friend. And they chant it for about 45 seconds. And we let it breathe in editing. I mean, it just goes on and on. And the band starts coming in, bum, bum, bum. But yeah, it's a joke. I would never get into it. Yeah. A feud over Twitter with another comedian. But no, I'm dear friends with Rory and very good friends with Andy.
Well, Todd, I gotta respect your time. It goes by fast. Is there any place you want the folks at home to find you, the Twitter or the Facebook?
Wherever they find me is good. Always my podcast is a good
there you go.
A good place to find me. Yeah, that's probably, and you know, look for my special. I think it should be out within the next, you know, I would say 4 months. It'll be airing somewhere, but everything else is good.
Right. And you're going to be in Portland next month, so.
I am going to be in Portland, which is a great club, Helium.
Yeah.
And how about Alan? I feel like Alan probably got some question he didn't get to ask.
Thank you.
You got a question for Todd?
Thank you, Todd. I'm still here.
Thank you.
I'm enjoying it all, man, and all the advice you gave. It's great. And, you know, just the whole idea that, you know, making all these observations of life, that is your material. And you know, you're saying get up there and just do it. Screw those classes.
I like to really preface that, because like I said, I do think that sometimes it helps somebody.
Yeah,
you know, they're nervous,
yeah,
and they,
sure.
But eventually,
yeah,
you can just go do it. You know, like I said, like comedians love to talk about comedy.
Yeah, man.
And if you get a comedian that's been doing a little longer than you, that's why when people start, like, how do you get a manager? How do you get an? You know, of course, you know, just go be funny as much as you can be funny.
That's
and it really will. There's later periods in your career where you do need to maybe go, how do I do this? But in the beginning, just get on stage over and over.
Over
but that's sort of the best way, you know. acting classes, because you can't just go act everywhere.
Oh, no, no, acting classes.
You can't go act for 3 minutes a night.
No, no.
You know, you can't find open act, opening. I mean, I'm sure there's readings and stuff like that. But you can't just go do act for 3 minutes. So acting classes, I get.
No, I get you.
But comedy you can just do. You know, there's you can go hit open mic nights and just perform.
Bam. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Todd. I really do appreciate you taking the time to give us a phone call and stuff.
Oh, you're welcome. Good talking to you, and appreciate the kind words. And that's it. I'm going to go eat a roast beef sandwich. No, I'm not. I'm not going to eat a roast beef sandwich. I'm trying to not eat meat anymore. So I'm going to go have a vegetarian pita.
There you go.
Well, Todd, before I let you go, to George Carlin, I love you very much, and thank you for doing the show.
Well, I love you too, even though we've never... Wait, we have met.
Yeah.
Edit this out. Oh my God, I look horrible. I didn't know what to say. You said you love me and it's groovy. Oh,
no.
Isn't that funny? We talk about that on my podcast a lot. I appreciate that so much. And then you go to say it back and you get caught up in it. And the reason I really got caught up in it was because we've been saying something around my house. Everyone admits, like, John Brand Wagner, he's a comedian, but he also does the soundboard on my show, like the drops, all the comedic drops. And he will always say, "Hey, I love you," as he's leaving. And me and my other friend, we go, "Why do we get caught up in that? I'm a pretty affectionate person in other ways." And so we decided to say, "I love Stephen Fine Arts," because we're like, "Well, everybody loves Stephen Fine Arts." So when you said that, I was like, "Well, wait, does he know who Stephen Fine Arts is, or really know what it means?" So I got caught up. So we just say, "I love Stephen Fine Arts." So I love Stephen Fine Arts.
Well, I'll text you a picture of you and I together, so maybe that'll bring you a memory back. But yeah,
we love that.
Well, good talking to you, and Alan, nice meeting you via the phone.
Hi. Nice meeting you.
Well, thanks again, Todd. Have a good night,
bye.
Pal.
Take care.
Great guy. All right, bye, Keith. Bye, Alan.
Bye. Wow.
Ah, Todd Glass, ladies and gentlemen.
Todd Glass, indeed.
That was amazing.
Yeah, man.
Great. You guys could follow him on Twitter at Todd Glass. He has a Netflix special coming in a couple months, and he's going to be in Portland next month. And with all the difficulties, you ever notice that whenever we have technical difficulties, the episodes turn out to be amazing?
Yeah, well, considering we've had a lot of amazing episodes, we've had a lot of technical difficulties.
Well, Sam, hey, man. Sam gave me the light, so we do got wrapped
up. Rock and roll.
This episode of Razor Riffs, again, was brought to you by Taco Brat, which is in Costa Mesa, and they have the best tacos. And
you like their nachos.
I do love their nachos. And I could give you guys the phone number so you could call and ask them where they're at so far. The phone number is area code 844-328-8226. And Taco Brat. It's in Costa Mesa, California. Great, cheap tacos. Amazing.
Costa Mesa.
That's where we're heading right now.
I love Costa Mesa.
And hopefully we'll meet Todd there.
Yeah, well, he said he's going to take them up on that free meal.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, tune in next week. And, Alan, do you have anything going on? Or,
you know, I didn't want to reveal this, but I still haven't paid my my Screen Actors Guild dues.
Yeah, you told me to ask that.
Yeah, it helps motivate me for next week.
Oh, that's next week. I'm Keith Reza. I don't have anything going on. I do have a blog that I wrote about the Violent Femmes. You could check that out. Go to our show, though, at Facebook, at Razor Riffs, and our Twitter and our Instagram, at Razor Riffs. Give us a follow. Show us some love. Subscribe to the show on iTunes.
There you go.
Rate and review. And, you know, just support the program. We would really appreciate it if you enjoyed this interview. Just, you know, let us know. Give us some feedback.
And we are the go-to podcast for the best comedians in the country.
There goes Alan's bragging again.
There you go. I just threw my two cents in. Excuse me. Todd was great.
Todd was awesome. Thank you again, Todd Glass, and thank Alan Lee. I love you, the one and only.
Mutually.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You're listening to Razor Riffs with Keith Razor and Alan Lee right here on LA Talk Radio.